You've heard me talk about Samaritan Ministries and how believers come together to care for each other's medical needs. Well, Samaritan has recently launched Redeem HealthShare Ministry. It's an additional sharing option from Samaritan that offers flexible, affordable programs with the same biblical foundation, all through a modern digital platform. Redeem still gives you the freedom to choose your providers, as well as the option to include an exclusive add-on feature to help with expenses related to dental care, vision, routine, and preventative care. New features, new programs, new options. Check it out at RedeemHealthShare.org for more information. That's RedeemHealthShare.org for more information. Hey, we're Aaron and Jennifer Smith with Marriage After God,
helping you cultivate an extraordinary marriage.
And today we're going to share our perspectives of going into this again. Welcome to the Marriage After God podcast, where we believe that marriage was meant for more than just happily ever after.
I'm Jennifer, also known as Unveiled Wife.
And I'm Aaron, also known as Husband Revolution.
We have been married for over a decade.
And so far, we have four young children.
We have been doing marriage ministry online for over 7 years through blogging and social media.
With the desire to inspire couples to keep God at the center of their marriage, encouraging them to walk in faith every day.
We believe that Christian marriage should be an extraordinary one, full of life,
love,
and power.
That can only be found by chasing after God.
Together.
Thank you for joining us in this journey as we chase boldly after God's will for our life together.
This is Marriage After God.
Hey, thanks for joining us on a new episode of the Marriage After God podcast. Man, it's already September. We're in the last quarter. It's crazy how fast this year's going by. But as my wife would say, we have plenty of time left in the year. But before we get into what this episode is about, I want to invite you to take part in our 31-day marriage prayer challenge. It's completely free, and we made this challenge to encourage you and your marriage to be praying for your spouse every single day. We pray that over the next 31 days, you build not only a habit, but a ministry of praying for your spouse. And all you got to do is go to marriageprayerchallenge.com. That's marriageprayerchallenge.com, and sign up for free. It's completely free. Just choose your prayer challenge, either for the husband or for the wife. And hopefully you do it together as a couple. And start praying every day for your spouse. What we're going to do is we're going to send you an email every day with a prompt and a reminder to not only pray for your spouse, but what things you could be praying for them. And so it's pretty awesome. It's completely free. So go to marriageprayerchallenge.com today and sign up and join the challenge.
Okay, so for today's episode, we just thought the title would be funny. Here we go again. You know, like what?
Here what go again?
Yeah, we thought we would leave people guessing. You know, is this a good thing or?
Yeah, well, because it almost sounds like an argument or like we're going around that block again with all those issues or whatever.
I'm actually curious what did come to people's mind.
Yeah, if you want to send us a message on Instagram at marriageaftergod.com and let us know what you think the episode was about before you listen to it, that'd be really awesome and interesting to find out what people thought.
Okay, so the truth is, and I'm just going to jump right in right now.
Wait.
What?
I just wanted to give a little bit of effect. Okay.
We have some really exciting news for you guys. Well, we think it's exciting. I am holding in my hand a very cute black and white picture of a little jelly bean growing inside of me.
We're pregnant.
Again.
Again. Here we go again. That's what that's about. It sounds kind of negative now that I think about it. But
we're pregnant again. Number five.
We are doing this again.
Yeah.
This is the fifth go around for us, which is kind of crazy, but kind of awesome. And so we wanted to do a little announcement episode. Announced to you all because we love you all and we know that you guys follow our family and you love knowing about our children and what's going on. And so we thought, let's tell them all in a podcast episode, but not just tell you that we're pregnant. We thought it'd be awesome to answer some of your questions.
Yeah.
And so we're going to do that.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some of the realities of what's been going on in our hearts and minds and family time over the last few weeks. And just share kind of like what the Lord's been doing in our hearts about our family growing. I know that we've done some episodes in the past on parenting. I remember specifically when I was pregnant last time, we did Fears of a Growing Family. So if you guys want to check that out, that's available for you. But today's not going to be focused on fears. Today's just going to be on the realities of a growing family and what's been going on with us. But
yeah, we've done other episodes in the past also just on family Bible time and family adventures and lots of different kinds of
family-oriented things.
Yeah.
But before we jump in, I just want to let you guys know that we have some listeners that, you know, can't get pregnant and are trying or have just have different circumstances when it comes to getting pregnant, or maybe we have couples who are praying about adoption or fostering. And so we just wanted to let you guys know that our hearts are with you. And even though our circumstances may be different, we hope that this podcast episode about sharing our experience would still encourage you and still direct your hearts to the Lord.
Yeah. And for those that are currently trying to have children or have been trying to have children, we know quite a few people that have been through that and how hard it could be. Our encouragement is to continue leaning on the Lord, to rely on His strength, to believe that He is got good plans for you and your family, and to not grow weary, and to put your hope and faith in God. So we're with you.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that we should probably start when I told you that I was pregnant.
Yeah. You probably should start maybe 3 weeks before that, though.
Okay. So I guess the reason why I even took a test. So we went on this double date night with another couple, friends of ours.
A couple of friends of ours, who are a couple and married.
And we got to the restaurant and we even got as far as ordering our food. And then I don't know what happened, but
you started going downhill real quick.
Really fast. I had my head on my arm resting on the table. And
I was trying to entertain our friends thinking that you were sleeping or something.
You were like, what's up with Jen?
I was like, don't mind her. She's fine.
And I remember looking up at you and I'm like, Aaron, I think you should stay and hang out, but I feel like I'm dying and I need to go home right now.
I was really surprised because it's never happened before. And you having to like leave because you're that ill.
Yeah. You know? I don't know what was going on, but I felt like violently ill and I thought I was just sick and that I was going to vomit everywhere. And so I had to get out of that restaurant as quickly as possible. And I remember my girlfriend, she leaned over the table with so much excitement and she was like, Jen, are you pregnant? And I was like, no, I'm not pregnant.
We had no idea right at the moment.
No. And so that was the first kind of thing, but I still didn't think about it right away. But over the course of the next couple of weeks, you and I were just kind of off. Like I was emotional and we weren't.
We kept having these, like we were fighting about these nothing, what are they called? Nothing fights?
I don't know. It wasn't even a fight. It was just
arguing back and forth and not connecting, not understanding each other. And I'm like, why are you mad about this? Or what's happening? Or you thinking that it was just
a little bit crazy.
Yeah. A little bit crazy.
I feel like when I look back at it, it was just a thing of misunderstanding. Like I would misunderstand you, you would misunderstand me, and then we'd be in a funk.
And then what we were realizing is you were totally emotionally, hormonally, because of the pregnancy, which we didn't know you were pregnant.
Yeah. My body was just going through a loop.
But anytime in the past that we've had these kind of like seasons where it feels kind of chaotic and emotional, and usually it's something like you're pregnant.
Yeah.
So that's what made you think to go get a test.
So I did. And I didn't tell you that I was going to do that, but I did. And,
I'll say this, I did know you had a test because you had me go get one and we do it periodically because it's our way of checking, but I didn't know you were going to take one. I also was just assuming it was going to be negative. Mm. I was like, okay, yeah, this is what we do. We've done it for a long time. So it was out of mind, out of sight type thing.
So you just weren't thinking about it.
I wasn't even thinking about it. Nope.
Okay. So I was coming down the hall. I knew you were in the kitchen and I was excited and I wanted to tell you right away. And as I was coming down the hall, you
were already walking
towards me, but you were like in a hurry. So what was going on?
Well, I walked by and I was just like, my stomach was all jacked up. I maybe ate something or I don't know. I was like, man, my stomach hurts so bad. Oh, we did some sort of like workout like 2 days in a row. And my abs were killing me. They were like my whole chest and body. So I was walking by complaining. I was like, oh, my stomach hurts so bad.
And I think I just assumed you were headed towards the bathroom because you're so in a hurry. And so I used the opportunity to quickly say, well, it probably doesn't hurt like mine does.
And I like stopped at him and I was like, what? Like what? It didn't make any sense to me until you said,
we're expecting again.
And then I with a perfect and excited and joyful attitude, responded with, "Are you serious?"
I wish you guys could see his face right now, because it's really like...
I was really, really taken aback.
His eyebrows were all twisted up.
Because again, I was totally expecting that at whatever point you did take the test, it was just going to be a, no, we're not pregnant yet, because that's happened you know, in the past. And so when you said we were, it was probably the least exuberant response I've given from past, you know, in the past, I cried. We're going to be
you're so excited.
And then this one's like, are you serious? I had to like quickly adjust because I didn't know how you were going to take it. I was like, I mean, like, I was just surprised, but like, that's cool. Cool. Five. Rad.
I think because that number felt big to me that I wasn't shocked by your response at all. I just thought it was funny.
Because you probably felt the same.
So we got over that little whatever that was in the hallway really quick, and the reality started setting.
Until it set in that we're actually going to have five children.
Yeah. Wow. It's still, when I say it, I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So we're doing March.
How many weeks along are you? What does that make
about
you?
12 and some days.
So you're almost out of your...
I'm almost out of my first trimester.
Crazy, but awesome. So yeah, definitely nervous, but I am excited because of course this is what the Lord's doing in our life. We love children. That doesn't negate the fact of any of the nervousness I have or questions or... I know you said we're not going to talk about fears, but there are fears and there's unsure things and, you know, how's it going to work? But that's why we want to answer some of these questions that our listeners might be having, because some people are being like, what's it like to have five kids? I don't know.
We don't know yet.
We kind of know what it's like to have four.
We're just getting used to that one.
Yeah, we're just getting used to that one, barely.
True, it just turned one.
Yeah. So why don't we just get into some questions, and then at the end of this, we have a really cool bit of scripture I'm going to read.
I'm going to read some too.
Oh, Jennifer's going to read some too.
Maybe I'll read mine before you read yours.
Okay. So why don't you, I don't know where you want to go from here, but let's do it.
Okay. Do you have any fears about having another baby?
Oh, so we're just going to go right into...
Well, because you brought up fears, so I'm like, I'll just shoot with that question. We'll get it out of the way.
Yes. Like, I already don't sleep a lot. Like, what is it like? Every morning, all of our kids are in our bed.
Not every morning.
I have
come
a little
on.
Sliver of, like, do they make bigger than a king size bed? I know we have a cow king, but that's just a little longer. But like, do they have like a double king?
Okay,
there is a company that makes these huge beds.
I know, but I saw a picture on Facebook the other day of this couple that extended their bed, so it was basically like two queens butted up against each other, but they built the frame around it so that their eight dogs could sleep with them. It was really cute.
We have children, not dogs.
Okay, but just so everyone
but they
knows.
They do sleep on the bed with us sometimes.
It's not every night, though.
It's...
they sneak in when they have a bad dream. Or they just want to be close to us.
Or they woke up at 6:30 and they wanted to get in bed with us.
6:30, people are saying that's not early. That's actually probably decent.
Yeah. It doesn't bother. I'm just saying I already get very little sleep and just... Okay, I'm used to it. We're not going to sleep until the kids are out of the house. I get it. Okay. Other fears. You know, I don't want to have these fears, but I do. Just knowing the way the world is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and people think this, like, how can I bring children into this world? Well, God's good. And God has me and he has this whole world. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that I don't have fears. Mm-hmm. I think I'd be weird if I didn't think about the things that are going on in the world. But I do. But I feel like if you think about the world that our parents grew up in, and they probably thought very similarly, like, wow, look at the world we're growing up in. I mean, they saw, you know, different kinds of wars and they saw lots of crazy things and how strong we are in that world. I just think that how incredibly strong our children are going to be, especially if we teach them to know the Lord in this world that we live in. So even though it might be unsure to us, because we're like seeing it unfold, they know nothing else. Mm-hmm. And so even though I have like some anxiousness about this world that they're going to grow up in, I feel like God is mighty and these kids are going to be powerful change makers and, you know, salt and light in this world. Mm-hmm. Because this is the world they know. I don't know. Those are just some thoughts I have.
Cool. When I think about fears of having another baby, I think...
Something new we're going to be trying to do on our episodes is talking about other podcasts, other resources that we love, that we want to support so that you can get connected, so that you can find out about these resources as well. This week, we want to talk about CourageousParenting.com. These are some really good friends of ours, Isaac and Angie Tolpin. We actually go to church with them. They're part of our home church. And they have a parenting mentor program that you can take. And it's at CourageousParenting.com. And all you got to do is hit the enroll now button in the top right. And they have live conversations they do. It's a 6-week program. They do 6 videos, 6 parenting packets, 3 live webcasts. There's a private community. And their whole point and their whole heart behind this is to walk parents through biblical Christian parenting. So we wanted to encourage you to check that out. It's CourageousParenting.com. Click the enroll now button.
Things like actually giving birth to the baby.
That's the easy part. Everyone listening right now that's a mom is like,
no,
what?
He knows. He's joking.
I've been every single one, ladies. I know exactly how hard they are from the husband's perspective.
Thank you for clarifying. And so just a little background there. I've actually really enjoyed, you know, the pregnancy process and giving birth and just it's a highlight. I mean, it's a miracle of life and I'm grateful to be a part of it. And I have been fortunate to have, you know, I go into it with the desire to give birth naturally. And
praise God, you've done it naturally.
Done it naturally four times. And so I think that when I think about labor and delivery, I still desire that to have the baby naturally and nothing go wrong. And so just again, those fears of the unknown, of surrendering it to God and saying, no matter what happens, you know, I'm yours and this child is yours.
Yeah.
But yet I still have these fears of the unknown of what if, you know, what if this happens or that happens?
So I'm sure some people are wondering, have you had any home births or all in the hospital?
They've all been in the hospital.
But we have thought about.
We have thought about doing home birth. But
almost pulled the trigger this last time, but it was like, no, let's just do the hospital.
Yeah.
There's some awesome benefits to that.
Totally. I always tell people the food at our hospital is great.
And the ice chips.
Yeah.
So here's the next question. Are we going to find out the gender? And the reason I ask that is because twice now we haven't found out the gender and twice now we have.
Yeah. I don't know if everyone listening knows this, but I really like to find out ahead of time. Aaron,
I do not,
likes to be surprised. And so this is how we compromise.
Every other one.
So the first one we got to find out, it was Elliot. Then Olive was our sweet surprise, which was really cool actually, because she was a girl. So it was like,
that was really
so
cool.
Crazy. And then we found out with Wyatt and True, it was a surprise. So now we're going to find out.
And there's something really cool about it being a surprise though. It's a huge motivation during the labor process.
That's true. For both of us.
For both of us, yeah.
No, really for me. I can't wait to meet that baby when I'm...
But the benefits of finding out early is we get to know who they are sooner. Yeah. And names have always been a difficult part of it. We're not going to talk about names today, but knowing early gives us more time to think of names.
That's true. Speaking of gender, what are you hoping for, Aaron?
A girl.
So is Olive.
Good.
I was just going to say, Olive really wants a sister.
She's been praying for a sister since... before Wyatt was born.
Yeah. And she was really excited that God answered her prayer that I would even be pregnant, because she's been praying for a long time. Pretty much since she found out True it was a boy, she'd been praying that I would get pregnant again.
And she's pretty confident it's a girl.
Well, actually, so a few days ago, she came in our room in the morning and said,
a dream.
She was so excited. She goes, I had the best dream. Your baby was a girl.
So whenever our kids like say they had bad dreams, I'm like, hey, why don't you think about good things? Have a dream about the baby. Have a dream about like heaven.
Or
try and give them other things to think about other than whatever they were thinking about. So gender, we're going to find out this time. Mm-hmm.
But just as a side note, we always tell our kids, because they do always hope for a certain one, and we get caught up in this too. And so as a family, we just always remind each other, but whatever God gives us, like he's the one that gives us a boy or a girl, and that we're going to be so excited no matter what it is.
Mm. And we are, whatever it is, boy, girl. But a girl just, I don't know. I want another girl.
Sounds special.
I kind of want another girl for my daughter. She right. wants a little sister so bad. Yeah. I want to divulge something that is probably going to tell everyone listening how crazy we are.
No, I'm sitting over here worried.
I know. Well, yes, we're hoping for a girl, but what were we actually hoping for before you went to your first appointment?
Oh, okay. So before, every time I'm pregnant and I go to before my first ultrasound,
Every single time.
I've always prayed for twins. And
why is that?
I know I'm not the only one out there that does this. Maybe? No.
Maybe not on the fifth pregnancy.
You guys, I was still hoping for twins.
We were literally hoping for twins.
I think we have such a, well, I have such a strong desire for it because I was a twin. I am a twin.
You are a twin.
I am a twin. And I loved growing up having a twin. I have a brother. And I felt like we were best friends, like growing up. And that was just really fun. We lived down the street from each other. And it's just having that closeness in a relationship is super special. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is about it.
You also have like several other sets of twins in your family.
Yeah. My mom's side had like four sets.
But no one's had twins yet.
I know. Everyone says it skips a generation. So watch all these.
So your generation doesn't have any kids.
Yeah.
Yet.
All of our kids
are going to have like sets of twins, yeah. One after another.
Mom, I had another set of twins.
She's going to like bypass. She'd be like, I have seven kids already, three pregnancies. So no, we're only having one though, but that's okay. I'm stoked about it. So here's the next question. Are we ready for this?
You sound so negative.
It's a serious question. Are we ready?
Well, I think that it's a silly question because I think that we will be ready once the baby comes. Like right now, it's just like a growth season for us of preparing our hearts for the baby once it's outside of my womb. Because inside, I feel like it's a little bit easier because I don't know.
Physically, you're sick and all, but the baby is like contained. Yeah. It's not crawling all over the place.
Right.
But it does take up room in our bed. So.
Okay. Aaron, this bed problem. But seriously, when I think about that question, are we ready for this? I just think like, well, we will be ready for this because as we're experiencing it, it'll force us to go to the Lord and say, help.
Or and to he our will community. Help. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say also, there's no way to be ready for something that doesn't like hasn't happened yet.
That's what I mean.
But I would say we're more ready for a fifth child because we've had four children. We like after our first child, you know, not sleeping an ounce throughout the night, thinking that my child's just going to stop breathing in the middle of the night. Like those,
we were so terrified.
Like you're just like you're up all night. Like, are they breathing still? Are they breathing still? And now, like, put them in the crib. You know, let's go to sleep. And we're just so tired. We just go to sleep and we don't even think about that stuff. So I feel like all of the nuances of having children have gotten easier, but we have no idea what it's going to be like to have a fifth child.
Right.
We're going to have, you know, one that's almost two, one that's almost, you know, three and a half, five, seven. Like, so all of these things are changing. So, but I guess the things that I think about is, you know, the times that I already feel like we're, you know, we need to grow or mature in our current parenting with our current children. Mm-hmm. So I think about those things like, man, we do have to grow up. Yeah. We do have to change. We have to get better. Not that we're like terrible, but we just always got to grow.
Yeah. Along these same lines, you were mentioning that as we mature in our faith, it brings maturity in other areas of our life. So.
Oh yeah. I was thinking about this just tonight, actually. I was thinking I was praying and I was saying, Lord, like, why did you give us so little direct teaching on how to be a parent? Because, like, I'm sure the listeners are thinking, like, yeah, like, what the? Like, I just feel like I fail so much as a parent, or I have no clue what I'm doing sometimes. And I just think, like, Lord, like, you've given us so much specific direction on being a husband, being a wife, being a Christian, like, and, you know, being in the church and following you and what this looks like. And then like, it's got like a handful of verses on being a parent. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the Lord literally immediately revealed to me like, well, if I grow and mature in my faith, like you said, if I walk closer and closer to Christ, that's going to affect my parenting. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be more patient, mm-hmm. you know, which is one of the things I was praying for tonight mm-hmm. is I feel like I'm impatient with my kids. So the Bible doesn't need to teach me how to be patient with my kids. I need to learn to be patient because that's a fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Like walk in that fruit of the Spirit. Walk. So if I walk in the Spirit and I don't gratify the desires of my flesh, then my children will benefit from that fruit. Mm-hmm. They're going to see a parent, a patient father, mm-hmm. a gentle father, mm-hmm. a, you know, goodness, faithfulness, kindness, all of these things that the Spirit produces in me.
Yeah.
Which is what my kids need and deserve. Mm-hmm. And that makes me a better parent if mm-hmm. I do those things.
Yeah. As you're talking, it makes me think of that scripture where just the interaction of Jesus with children. And we're always trying to model our lives after Christ. And we, you know, we want to follow his example. And so I thought it'd be fun to share this scripture in light of sharing about children today. So Matthew 19, 13 through 15 says, "Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven.' And he laid his hands on them and went away." Hmm. And I just felt like he had all the patience in the world to just say, "No, let him come. Come on."
I think that's awesome.
I think it's beautiful.
And if we can have a little bit of that.
Yeah, right.
Let the children come to the bed, I guess. But then they went away. So, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, that's a good point is God's heart.
Toward children.
Toward children. I mean, they are what he's doing in the world. Mm-hmm. Our children in general are what God's doing in the world. It's the reproduction of his original creation,
yeah,
which is awesome. And I love that.
I got to share this story really quick because it's so fresh in my mind. But a few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to be a part of a writer's retreat. And there were some commonalities throughout each person that was there. But, you know, we were all women. We all love the Lord. And we're all authors of either blogs or social media or books. And I just thought it was such a unique experience. It was my first time being there. And throughout each session that we were together and engaging and dialoguing, there was this theme that kept coming up. And it was that you could hear it in the way people shared about what they were working on or what they were doing. And it was that no matter what, my family comes first. No matter what, my children comes first. So if I am working on this project and it has to be put on hold, I will do that because I care about my family first. And I just love that. I love that these women's hearts were there to serve in a way of using their gift to write, but no matter what, their family came first.
And you're not talking even before husband, but you're talking about career, business, passions, your family.
What I'm saying is parenting. Their husband and parenting was even above all of those things.
Like far above.
Yes. And it just kept coming out in the smallest and simplest of ways throughout our conversations together. But at the end of the day, all of us agreed that that was an important value that we had. And so I was encouraged, especially knowing that I just found out I was pregnant with our fifth, that this calling on my life to share my gift with the world doesn't supersede my role as a mother and the important work that I'm doing in my children's lives.
And
we're looking for people who have been blessed by this free podcast and our free daily marriage prayer emails and who want to help be a blessing to others. Creating and hosting this podcast and sending out our daily emails do incur a financial cost. And we want to invite you to join our faithful patron team to help financially support these resources so that they can remain free for all who need them. Please join our patron team today and become one of the faithful financial supporters who desires to help bless thousands of marriages around the world. Your support will help us pay for the creation, hosting, and promotion of our podcast and daily emails. Thank you, and we hope to see you become a Marriage After God patron.
That goes the same for me. All of these things that we do, our quote-unquote ministry, our online, our books, I hope I convey this often enough and well enough that none of those things come before the discipling of my children mm-hmm. or my relationship with you. Mm-hmm. But I should be able to do them together and do them well.
Yeah.
But there's been times that I'm like, oh, I need to like change my priority order right now.
Yeah. I just really felt like I needed to share that too, because you know, we're jumping into a different season too, where Elliot's growing up, and I'm homeschooling, and with more children, that requires more of me, of mom being home and present. And so I can't work as much, even if that's my desire to, even if I wanted to write more, or, you know, I think about blogging because I get filled up being able to share my words with people, but I just felt like I had to let go of that, knowing that when the Lord allows me that time to write, then I can do it.
Do you feel like, and I'm asking this question specifically for someone listening that might need the answer to it. Do you feel like there's any more important ministry than your mothering and your teaching our children?
I think that is the most important thing.
Right.
And I don't want to look back 20 years from now and be the successful author, whoever, and say, well, yeah, but my children aren't whatever, fill in the blank. You know, I don't want to have any regrets there. So my attention right now, my heart is directed towards what is my role as a mother and how can I lead my children well? How can I make sure that I'm fulfilling my role with you as a wife?
Yeah.
And what's really cool about that is when I'm being obedient in these things, the Lord does give me room over here to do any extras that I feel like I should be doing.
Right. And it doesn't mean we throw away these specific ministries that God's given us. Now, if we needed to, we would.
We actually talked about this when I first found out that I was pregnant. I was really worried about my capacity, and we had a talk about it because I was worried that even podcasting would be hard for me.
Yep.
But we talked about it, and then we got counsel. We sought out some friends who could give us a external perspective on what we were going through, because we don't want to miss the mark here. We don't want to put ourselves in a position where
we put something above our most important ministry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're just working this out, and we just want to be honest with you guys.
Yeah.
But for right now, I feel really good about being able to podcast with you and share this content with our listeners. So, I feel comfortable sharing all of that, and hopefully it encourages someone who might be having that conflict. Cause I know it happens in today's world where you,
especially with social media.
Yeah.
I need to have this thing, or I need to grow this thing, or I need to,
it can happen really fast where you,
which those things aren't bad in themselves, but if our priorities get mixed up, if we put those things above God, especially not above God, but if we put them above our spouse, above our children, and our discipleship of our children, cultivating of our home and family and growing in the Lord together, that could be bad.
Yeah.
And we don't want to be that. So we're constantly going back and making sure that our foundations are right.
Yeah.
So here's a question that I'm sure people are thinking. Do you feel like your house is too small? And what's going to happen with our car?
Well, about the house being too small, I don't know who all, unless they know us personally, would know. I don't know if they would ask that question because nobody knows like house sizes. But
I
would
just tell people we don't have a huge house.
We don't have a huge house. But to answer that question, I would just say I feel like there's still room because the kids are really small. So even though there's a lot of them, they share rooms.
I also lean on the side of, now I would love more room, of course. I'm not going to pretend that I'm like, you know, oh, it's small is good. No, I would love more room. But I'm also a huge advocate. Like, I wouldn't mind if they shared beds. I shared a bed for a long time in my house, and it would teach them to be less selfish. but we can do triple decker bunk beds.
We can get creative.
We can have like bed drawers. I don't know if that's a thing.
I've heard of people having way less, so that's always, you know.
I know.
You
yeah, things, that, yeah. People do it with way less than what we have.
When you put things in perspective, I don't know. It just makes you feel like when I think about our house, I think we have plenty of room. But if we ever had the chance to make more room, we'd probably do that in the future.
Now our car,
we're maxed out.
Do we actually have room in our car?
I don't think so. So we have a Suburban, but we have the captain seat. So I think that we'll have to either get a bench.
But I can't even find one.
Yeah. We're going to have to figure the car situation out.
We have two cars.
I was going to say, we can
drive around in two cars if we have to. We've known people that have done that.
Yeah.
But a big old van, probably.
Yeah.
Like a 15 passenger.
We think about these things, but we're not worried by them.
No, yeah. But I'm sure people wonder, like, how do you do your car?
I know Aaron wanted to go straight to a Sprinter, and I was just imagining myself driving around a 15 passenger van going, That's just hilarious.
They're so cool though.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of space.
We have a ton of people that drive around in Sprinters in our town, but they're not, they're like camper Sprinters.
They're like souped up.
Yeah. They fit like four people.
They're awesome though.
They're really awesome, but I don't want one of those.
Okay. So here's a hard question. How do we afford it? How do you afford having a big family?
Well,
kids equal money.
They do. I'll say this. I know we can't afford it with our income, and God's really blessed us and allowed us to live off of our ministry and the books we've written. Mm-hmm. But where we're at now is not how it always has been. I feel like as we've had more children, we've increased and grown, and we've made wise decisions. We've been faithful to make. We've tried making really good decisions on work and how we made money and how we saved money, how we spent our money. So I would say in this day and age, it could be hard. Mm-hmm. But I think that the trick is doing what the Bible says and being faithful, good stewards, making wise decisions. So all I know is we can't afford it, and we've continue to trust the Lord. And
that's kind of what I was thinking, is that when you trust the Lord, it doesn't matter what the thing is that you're trusting him for or about. You're trusting him, and you're praying, and you're sharing those requests with him, and you're making known what your needs are, even though he already knows. And that's, I don't know. I love that relationship with God, where like we get to come to him, even if we're worried about it or have some concerns. And then he gets to show us what we need to do.
And this is what I know. And you even like mentioned this to me, is if something drastically changed in our finances, whatever that may be, I'm just going to go figure it out.
Yeah. Get like, creative.
That's what we do. We're like, I have to go work somewhere and I'll make phone calls. To find that job. And the reason I know I will do that is because I've done it.
Yeah.
Before we had kids and we tried finding work, in what was it, 2008, 2009, like right in the middle of the recession and no one was hiring. I went and worked for free for someone for almost 3 weeks.
And then they gave you that job.
To prove to them. And then they started paying me. But I just, that's how I think, is like, well, I'm going to do what it takes. Mm-hmm. Currently God's blessed us for what we do in our work and our ministry, like we can support ourselves and we can pay for things. But if something changed, like I'm not going to just give up. Mm-hmm. Like I'm going to go get a job.
Yeah.
Men work.
Okay. What things are harder with a bigger family? I just thought that was an interesting question. Like,
going out to eat anywhere.
Finding a big enough table.
Yeah, finding a restaurant that will let you bring all your kids.
For me, it's,
you gotta go to loud, big family restaurants. That's what you gotta do. That gives some sort of free thing, like chips and salsa or bread, so that you could have it.
Okay, no.
These are tricks of the trade right here. Okay.
I was gonna say taking photos, because like a selfie with you is like, here, snap this, and you look at the camera and you smile on cue.
They don't have long enough selfie sticks.
Kids don't have long enough attention span, so you can't get everyone smiling at the same time.
You can maybe get 2/3 of them to look at the same time, but then they're like looking right past the camera or their photos. That's a funny thing.
Yeah, a little bit harder with bigger families is bath time, because it just takes them longer.
Oh, that's true.
We have a lot of little, so I think it'll feel different once our olders are getting older. More.
Oh, speaking helpful. Of. Taking time. I do want to like, I pride ourselves in how fast we get in and out of the car, even with 4 kids.
Okay. But we're going to have 5 now. So
it's going to be, well, we don't have a car that fits them. So we'll have to leave one somewhere or.
No.
No. Things that are harder. What's hard? Coordinating. Like if I'm going to take some kids, like going with all the kids.
Yeah.
Anywhere by myself.
Just being mindful of that, because our kids are so small. We have
4 and 7. 2 of them are potty trained, but still need help. Mm-hmm. Like I can't just say, okay, go to the bathroom. I'll wait out here. So
bathroom
issues. Yeah. That's a hard thing. And then I have like that. It's almost like the diaper is like, oh, I wish you were in a diaper right now. Like, it's awesome that they're potty trained, but it's like the diaper is so much more convenient, which is funny because early on with less kids, you're like, diapers, what? I can't wait until you're potty trained. It's just, this is the thing with growing families. Okay.
Moving on.
Here's a question that we actually do get asked a lot. Are we done?
Yeah. Or this one. Do you guys have a number?
Like a number in mind?
In quotation.
Yeah, no, like what, like when you stopping essentially is like have you had enough yet? Or you, or is
do
your
you quiver, have Aaron?
Is
you
your quiver full enough?
Aaron, like, just you're okay. You're quoting a scripture that I brought up, but you're being silly about it. I want to share it.
Well,
I want to
share the scripture, and I won't be silly about it.
Okay, hold on. But you didn't answer the question.
I was trying to skip it.
Do you have a number?
I don't have a number.
You don't?
And that doesn't mean I'm. How do I say this? We had a. This pregnancy specifically has brought up some lot like deep conversations with me and you. Maybe we can go into those another episode, but it's not that I don't have a number like, oh, you know, if we have 24 kids, I'm totally cool with that. Actually, that terrifies me to think about that. But just knowing where my heart's at of God, I want you to guide us in this and I want to trust you. It's irrelevant. Mm-hmm. Like having a number is irrelevant, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Because to be honest, like it's highly unlikely because we get pregnant really easy, but we could just stop having kids out of nowhere. Yeah. It could just happen. We've known people that they've had a bunch of kids and then boom, like they didn't have any more kids or it took them a long time. And then they had their next kid years later. So I'm just, a number to me in my mind, the way I think about it is like, it's irrelevant because it's not like, how I think about trusting God in this area is going to change at that number. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I just don't think about a number.
Yeah. So we don't have a number. I'm with Aaron on all of this. We don't have a number and we don't know when we'll be done because we're just at this point taking it one pregnancy at a time and trusting the Lord with each pregnancy. And
it's impossible to know what's around the corner.
What that looks
like,
yeah.
We don't know what God's doing in our life and... Like, we literally don't know how our bodies are going to be next year or tomorrow. I mean, not to sound weird, but like, we just don't know things. Yeah. So it's kind of, I just don't want to make assumptions about my future right now. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. So the scripture that I wanted to share with you guys is Psalm 127, 1-5. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. So I really love this passage when it comes to talking about children. And even though it says, blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them, it still doesn't say how many to put in that quiver. That's okay. You don't need a number.
It isn't, yeah.
But it does say that children are a heritage from the Lord and the fruit and the fruit of the womb. So when I read that, I go,
it calls children a reward.
Reward. Yeah. That is so beautiful to me. So
I love that it puts it in the same sentence of, for he gives his beloved sleep. And it's almost like God's like, he's like, Aaron. Parents are going to think this is funny. Eating the bread of anxious toil. But I feel like this is all the things that children might cause in our life. Like, you know, we toil, we're anxious, you know, for our children. And God's like, no, I give you sleep. Mm. So I think we could unnecessarily add anxiousness and toil to our life in trying to like control all of this. And we just can't, or I guess we can, we desire not to.
Yeah.
In our home.
So one question that I really feel like is an important one to ask is how do you share your attention with each kid? Because with Elliot, he had us for 2.5 years before I had Olive.
I know, and he reminds us of that all the time. I'm just kidding.
No, he does not. No.
Remember the days?
No. But with each kid, like there is truth to the capacity of like,
Mm-hmm.
You only have so much of you and to give, but I don't know. Explain that.
Yeah, it is a perfect way to explain it. I think I even mentioned it one time in another podcast, like last year, like one of the earlier podcasts. As we have more children, it's impossible to give each one of our children equal time and attention. Now, we can really like cultivate individual relationships and be intentional, and I can go on a daddy date with one and a daddy date with another, and we can cultivate that, but there's just no way to give each child what you could give them if you only had one. Mm. But I don't think that's a bad thing. I actually believe it's a good thing. And the reason I believe that is, as our kids grow, God's doing a lot of things. Not only are the parents involved mm-hmm. in how we raise them and what we teach them, what we show them, but there's also now siblings, and they have to learn and share and realize that it's not all about them, and they have to give time
yeah.
to their sibling, to mom and dad, and they have to share the attention, and they don't get all of it. They have to split.
There's a lot of growth opportunity for all of the kids.
Well, and for
and
us.
And the parents. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's how God intended it. Mm. Now, that doesn't mean if someone has only had one child that they're going to be totally broken, but that child will have a harder time learning what it means to share and give undivided, give attention away and not have it all to themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's a reality. Mm-hmm. It's an only child thing. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, you have many children, and they do have to learn to give away
yeah.
time, and that they can't have what they want all the time, which is hard. Mm-hmm. It literally sometimes crushes us. We're like, why can't we can't love like them the way we want, or we can't. But then that challenges us and actually makes us grow and realize that we can't be our children's saviors. We can't be everything to our children. They need Christ.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, the very thing that we wish we can give to them, mm-hmm. we couldn't give to them anyway. All we can do is point them to the one who can.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean we intentionally like deprive them of love and things like that, but
never.
No, I'm just saying, I'm not saying we manufacture that situation. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying the reality of not being able to give them everything, not being able to fully love them and give them everything that they emotionally and spiritually need, because we're divided, is necessary. So that's just my thoughts on this, and it's not fully fleshed out, but I just feel like it's part of God's design that our kids would learn to need him, because we can't be that for them.
Yeah. Well, when I think about that question, I think about how things have been going for the four kids that are outside of the womb right now. And I just like to encourage parents that we have such an incredible amount of time to invest in them together, like as a family yeah. unit. So even though they may not all get that individual one-on-one time, you do get to spend quality time when you do stuff like family Bible time or around the mm-hmm. dinner table or playing with them on the ground. And you don't want to miss those opportunities. Like, that is your time to invest in your kids. And maybe it'll be when, you know, you're on the back porch and you call one of them over, or, you know, the other ones are playing and you just get
whisper something into them.
Or, yeah. Or you get yeah. 2 minutes to have a conversation with them, and you talk about stuff that they like, and you find those moments to invest and build up those relationships with them individually amidst the group.
Yeah.
So I've been really encouraged by that in my relationship with the kids. I wanted to share another scripture, and I know we'll be wrapping up soon, but if you guys haven't like dug into Psalm 139 yet, I really encourage you to, and look at it from the perspective of like you once as a baby and your relationship with God. And if you're a parent, look at it from the perspective of your children. It's mm-hmm. just so beautiful. It's so beautiful. But something that stuck out to me as I read it more recently was Psalm 139, verse 16. It says, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." And so you get this really beautiful picture of how God intricately, you know, wove a baby inside of the mother's womb. But then there's this small verse about how the days that were formed for me, like God formed not just me and my body and who I am, but he also formed the days that were going to be before me and how I was going to mm-hmm. walk through them. And something that stood out to me is in this first trimester, I've been the sickest that I ever have been in a pregnancy. And it was really difficult because I had four other kids to attend to. Thankfully, it was summertime and it was a slower time. And so we just played a lot. But even in those mundane days where you're not feeling well or they're just slow and you're hanging out with toddlers, like those were days that the Lord formed for me. And I get to embrace those and savor them. I don't know. I just thought it was really beautiful.
That's great. I love that. Yeah. And so before we close, I want to read one more piece of scripture. And it's in the Old Testament also. It's in Jeremiah 29. It's where we get the famous verse, Jeremiah 29:11. If you don't know what that is, you should look it up. But it's a pretty awesome part of Jeremiah. And it's right after the Israelites have been taken into captivity into Babylon. You know, they were taken from their land. They're taken into captivity. Not an ideal situation. But what's awesome about this is the picture that we get from it, because we are currently held captive in a Babylon. We're exiles. As believers, we're not in our home. We are ambassadors in a foreign land, right? So very similar to the Israelites, we live in a Babylon. We live in a home that's not ours. And I just want you to listen to God's message to the Israelites as they go into this land, into a foreign land that's not theirs, into captivity and as exiles. And what's awesome about this is, you know, going back to what I was talking about fears of this world that we live in, this, I believe, is still God's heart for God's people. Not just the Israelites, but Christians. And so, not that we replace the Israelites, but when I read this, you'll understand. So it says this. It says in Jeremiah 29, verses 3 through 6, the letter was sent by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. It said this, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles who I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. So in this time of exile, God doesn't tell them, just get by, just wait, you know, don't worry about, you know, trying to settle in. He says, build houses, have children, plant gardens.
I feel like what's really cool about this, sorry to interrupt you, but
yeah.
In the midst of being exiles and being somewhere that's not familiar, you have these few verses that are so comforting and build familiarity through family, you know, building houses and take, you know, in experiencing marriage and multiplying through birth. Like those are really comforting things mm-hmm. to me when I think about building a home and a family. Like, I don't know.
Well, and they didn't understand it then, the Israelites, but God was giving them this command, not just for them, but for the lineage mm-hmm. that was going to eventually bring us the Messiah, mm-hmm. Christ. He's telling them, don't decrease, multiply, grow, become the nation that I want you to be. And so what made me think of this is we just had this baptism at a river. And we started off as one small home church. And we've since now branched off into we're three home churches now. And all three home churches got together this last Sunday. And we did a baptism. And several people and children got baptized. And it was awesome. And there were so many people where it started with like this eight families. There was like 50 or no, there's like 70 families. Like it was, there were so many people there. And I'm just thinking like, how awesome is this? And I was standing there watching all the children play in the water. And I was thinking, all of these children weren't here a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And so all I thought is in a few years, we're going to triple in size just by having children. Mm-hmm. And not just, oh, look, we had a bunch of children, but all of us desire to raise our children to know God, to know His word. And so our desire is to disciple them. And I was just thinking, like, when God told the Israelites, He says, multiply there and do not decrease. He still has that heart for us as Christians. We're exiles in Babylon currently, not that Babylon, just the world. We're in a world that's not our own. We're waiting for our heavenly home.
Yeah, not of this world.
And God desires us to not decrease. And that is incredible. And it's not just so there's a bunch of kids. He desires godly offspring. Go read Malachi and you'll know what I mean. but I thought that was beautiful. He tells these Israelites when they're going, this is a terrifying time. And he's like, hey, build houses, plant vineyards, have children. Increase. So I just pray that this encourages you listening that, hey, we go through things where we have questions and fears and we have no clue how we're going to do this. And to be honest, almost every day, I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. But God's good and his grace is enough for us. And we're having a fifth child.
And we're both really excited about it.
And we're both really excited. And we would hope you're excited for us too and be praying for us because we got a journey ahead of us. And as always, we end our episodes with prayer. So Jennifer, would you pray for us?
Dear Lord, you are incredible and we trust you. Trusting you is not always easy for our flesh, but you are trustworthy and your timing is divine. Help our hearts to trust you even more completely. Thank you for our families. Thank you for the gift of children. Thank you for your provision. We pray that in every season, whether it's difficult or smooth, that we would praise you because you are good. We pray for understanding. We pray for maturity as parents who desire to raise awesome children who know you and love you. We pray we would walk in wisdom every day. And we pray that you would be glorified in our marriages and in our families as we proclaim your truth. We surrender to you, Lord, and we ask that you continue to help us in our weaknesses. We boast in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We hope this encouraged you. As always, thank you for joining us. You guys are awesome. Have a blessed week. See you next time.
Did you enjoy today's show? If you did, it would mean the world to us if you could leave us a review on iTunes. Also, if you're interested, you can find many more encouraging stories and resources at marriageaftergod.com and let us help you cultivate an extraordinary marriage.
Hey, Marriage After God friends. Thank you for your continued faithfulness and listening each and every week. Jennifer and I have often shared with you about how important prayer is in the life of a believer. It's so important, in fact, that we're told this in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is God's will for us to pray, and we want to inspire you to begin praying for your spouse and marriage every day. This world hates marriage, and so does our enemy. Because he knows the power that your marriage is meant to have in this world. He knows that if you and your spouse are praying and chasing boldly after God together, that the impact Christ will have in and through you will be powerful. So we need to be praying more than ever before. Our heart is to encourage you along with everyone who listens to this show to be praying for your spouses and your marriages, to be strengthened, renewed, healed, prepared, and empowered to do the ministry that God has for you to do in this world together. So, Jennifer and I would love to invite you to join with thousands of other couples in taking our 31-day marriage prayer challenge. This is a completely free and fun way to build a habit of prayer in your marriage. All you have to do to join is visit marriageprayerchallenge.com and fill out the registration form. Once you do that, you will begin to receive an email every day from us during the 31 days to not only remind you to pray for your spouse, but we'll also give you various topics and prompts to help you know what to pray for. We dare your marriage to start praying like never before. Start the challenge today at marriageprayerchallenge.com.